John 8, 31 and 32 says this, "To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, what is freedom? Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Lord, I pray that you would guide me. Lord, that you would speak through me. Holy Spirit, that you would prepare our hearts to receive what you're going to teach, speak to us today. And Lord, let it be your words, not mine. That we hear it, we receive it. God, it takes root in us and produces a great harvest. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We had been on this passage in Sunday school, and this idea of freedom came, you know, is what we were discussing. And the idea, and then I got talking with some other people concerning this afterwards, the idea of freedom and what the Bible has to say about it. And with Independence Day coming up and celebrating our freedom and independence, I thought it'd be a good time to address the idea, because what is freedom? Because the way that we talk about freedom, the way the Bible talks about freedom, aren't necessarily the same things. And I'm not really going to speak about freedom today in regard to Independence Day, but instead I'm going to talk about the biblical concept of freedom, which I would say is the true understanding of freedom, because God is the one that created everything. Amen? Are we in agreement about that? God created all this, therefore he gets to set the terms, right? I've told men before, it's like, you know, you got to stop defining your manhood the way the world defines it. God created man, therefore God is the one who defines what a man is, not the world. And in this regard, God created everything. He created the idea of freedom. The Bible talks a lot about it. And so he gets to define what freedom is. It's not always the way we define it, even the way we define it sometimes as a nation in celebrating our independence or our freedom. So I want to describe what, if I say, people have this concept, they go, "I'm free. I'm a free person. I'm free, therefore I can," what's the next part of it? "I'm free so I can do whatever I want," right? That's a worldly understanding of freedom. That's the way we generally talk about and understand freedom, but that's not exactly how God views freedom. And that's what we're going to look about today. Freedom, as God gives it to us, has a proper usage of it. It's not just whatever, not just willy-nilly. It doesn't mean no restrictions, no limits, no boundaries. That's not, we think that's true freedom. No limitations at all. That'd be true, to truly be free, I can do anything. Well, since God defines freedom, that's not what true freedom is, and that's what we want to look at today. Do we really believe that if we hold to Jesus' teachings, we are really his disciples and we are free to do whatever we want? That's what it says, right? To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples." So we're here today studying God's word because we're trying to hold to his teachings, right? So we're his disciples. Amen? And so it says, if I'm holding to the teachings of Jesus, I'm free. Do I really think that am I holding to the teachings of Jesus and I'm free? It means I can do whatever I want? Jesus' teachings does what? It gives us parameters in which to live our lives. So there's no way that if we hold to Jesus' teachings, we're free in the idea that I can do whatever I want. In fact, it means I'm free to do what Jesus taught me to do. Amen? Freedom means very something different than the way the world defines it. I'm going to try to stay behind the pulpit this morning and stick to my notes as much as possible. If God defines freedom, then we must understand what freedom is from God's perspective. And we understand that it's his truth that is what causes us to be free. We all want to be free, but it's his truth that causes us to be free. So today we're going to look at that. We're going to look at what freedom really means from God's perspective. Let's go start by going to Romans 6, verses 12 through 14. Romans 6, verses 12 through 14. Says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." In verse 12, it says, if our evil desires we're not supposed to let them be in our mortal bodies. If these evil desires that are a part of our mortal bodies cause us to sin, then what does it say? If I follow the desires that are in my flesh and it causes me to sin, then what's the result of that? What does it produce? Doesn't it make me, what's it say? I'm a slave to sin, right? I'm dead in my sins. Verse 14 says that if I would make sin my master, if I'm following what the sinful nature wants me to do, then sin is my master. For sin shall not be your master. God doesn't want it to be our master. But if I do what my body desires, the evil desires of my body, then sin is my master. Well, by definition, if I have a master, I'm not free, amen? So when I do things, you might be free. You might say, well, I'm free to do this behavior or that behavior, right? Sorry here. I'm free to do this behavior or that behavior. I have a desire to do this, I have a desire to do that, and I'm free to do it. I can do it if I choose. Well, probably nobody's going to stop you, right? Unless it's illegal and the police show up, they might put a stop to what you're doing. But nobody can really stop you if you want to do something that you desire. But if that desire is a sinful act, then the Bible says you might be free to do it, but that's not the same as being free. Are you with me? You might have the freedom to choose to do something, but if it is a sinful act, you are not free. You are a slave to sin. And if you are a slave and you have a master, by definition, you are not free. Now, can we all admit we have desires in our bodies, in our being, whether it be in our soul or our flesh, to do things that are sometimes against God's will? People argue all the time that, well, God created me like this. And therefore, if I have these feelings and these desires and God created me, then God must have created these things inside of me. And it wouldn't be wrong for me, because God's the one that made me this way, to act upon those desires. Have you all heard this argument? You've never heard that? I don't know what rock you're living under. Anyway, it's a very predominant thought in the world. I have these desires. God made me like this. Therefore, if I act upon them, it's not wrong. Folks, if I acted on my desires, close your ears, honey. If I acted on my desires, I'd be a bar-hopping, dope-smoking woman chaser. And a couple of you go, Randy, I knew you when you were. That's true. I got news for you. That old Randy, he's still in there. We talked about this morning in Sunday school. We have the idea of, is a human being the product of nature or nurture? Is it the way we are genetically designed, built, born, or is it the product of life's experiences and our upbringing? Well, both are true. And this is what God teaches us in this. I am genetically predisposed to certain things, but I take that and I choose to shape it, mold it, control it, discipline it, use it in a proper way, not for my own self-gratification, but for the benefit of others and for what God's desire is. We have to take what we are and we have to discipline it, again, train it. So it is taking the person that we are and using it the way God says to use it. Because that nature that would make me be excessive, I'm kind of an OCD person, obsessive compulsive. I don't do anything minimally, okay? Judy told me one time, I noticed that everything you do with passion. If you take the trash out, you do it passionately, you know? It's like, but see, it's that gift. It can be a curse or it can be a gift. Either it's a curse if I don't discipline it and train it and submit it to God's will, but it's a gift if I do, because it's that type of gifting that allows me to get up here and do this right here right now. Do you get that? This is why only one person is asleep right now. Not most people. Most times people don't fall asleep when I'm preaching, and thank you for that. Because I hope that it's that passion that holds your attention, what I'm trying to communicate to you, because I really am passionate about it. And so it's taking that thing that could be a negative, learning it, disciplining it, forming it, so that God uses it for his purpose rather than me using it for my purpose. But either way I do it, I'm serving one or the other, right? I'm still serving one or the other. And this is what we have to do. If I were to act on my nature that's in me without surrendering it to God, I would be a slave to sin. We have a whole mindset, a whole political philosophy in this country that kind of has this mindset. Now, it's an improper understanding of the concept, but how many of you ever heard of the Libertarian Party? So, and a lot of people fancy themselves, well, I'm a libertarian. I'm all for the idea of liberty, okay? But the general thinking in the Libertarian Party, you know, I'm not a fan of any of our political parties, okay? I'm a fan of the Constitution, all right? Which none of our political parties are a fan of the Constitution, it seems. But anyway, the Libertarians, they think that it has become a party that basically says, I can do whatever I want, leave me alone. That is not what libertarianism is, okay? Liberty goes along with the idea of liberty that we are given in our Constitution. Do you think that our founders, when they talked about having life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, do you think that they meant that you could just do whatever you wanted when they said liberty? That is not what they meant. In fact, I looked it up, and I kind of summarized it this way. I wrote it down so I give you a little summary. The founding fathers viewed liberty as a multifaceted concept. It didn't just mean do whatever you want. That required individuals to engage in the pursuit of virtue and happiness while maintaining moral responsibility. They believed that true freedom was not just the absence of restraint, but the ability to act in ways that contributed to a flourishing society. So you had the liberty, basically, to be great. You had the liberty to be a moral, responsible person, which they knew would lead to, if you were doing these things, it would lead to happiness. We have life, we have liberty, and if we have those things, it can lead us to a what? To happiness, to happiness. That was their concept of liberty. It wasn't just do whatever you want to do. 2 Timothy 2, verses 25 and 26 says, those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and they will come to their senses and escape from the evil trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. This is the trap of worldly freedom, that think we can do whatever we want to do. That's what we think freedom is. That's not what this says. It says we need to understand the truth, which is what we're looking at here today. We're studying God's word to find out what true freedom is. And if we do that, we can escape the trap of the devil. The devil, what do you think he would like you to think? Do you think he would like you to think freedom meant that you are free to follow God, free to build a productive life? Or that he wants you to be, you think that you're free, that you can just do whatever you want. Which would the devil prefer? He would prefer that you just think, I'm free, I can do whatever I want, right? Well, here, Timothy's saying, no, we need to know the truth so we can escape from this deception of Satan. Satan wants to deceive us on this idea of freedom. And we were talking again. You know what the problem with deception is? Satan deceives us. He wants us to be deceived. We need to escape the trap of the devil who has taken us captive to do his will. When we are deceived, we are being taken captive by Satan to do his will rather than God's. The problem with deception is, if you're deceived, You don't know it, right? Because if you knew that you were deceived, you wouldn't be deceived. That's what deception is. That's what Satan wants. The only way that we stay out of being deceived by Satan to fall into his trap is if we know the truth. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Free from what? Free from Satan's deception. Free from Satan's trap. You must know the truth. Otherwise, you will be deceived. I want to go back and look at our opening passage, John 8, 31 and 32. To the Jews who believed him, he asked, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus said that if we hold to his teachings, holding to his true teachings, if we obey what Jesus has taught us, this will make us free. This means our freedom is based on understanding God's truth. The only way I can be true the way God defines it is to know God's truth. Does that make sense? If I follow Jesus' teachings, I know the truth. And the truth will what? Make me free. So if I know, I have to know God's teachings, I have to know Jesus' teachings to know truth in order to be free. Where's my source of truth? God's word, right? It's going to be really, really hard to be free the way God wants us to be free without knowledge of God's word. That's why it's so important. People want to go, everybody wants to think they're free. Everybody wants to think that they're not being controlled by somebody. I'm my own person. Nobody tells me what to do. Right? For the most part, right? But true freedom from God's perspective is what? Knowing the truth, and the truth is his word. If you want to be able to make that claim, I'm truly free, then you need to know God's word. Now, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here, and you might be thinking this, if you've been thinking this, wondering about this while as I'm talking, the way the world defines freedom, I'm free, I can do whatever I want, that type of freedom doesn't exist. That is not a reality. Nobody ever has ever been free in that regard. So in the way the world thinks of freedom, there is no such thing. Nobody is free. Nobody has ever been free in the history of mankind the way the world thinks of freedom. I'm free so I can do whatever I want. So if you think of freedom in those terms, it's a false notion. It just doesn't exist. We're either going to follow Satan or we are going to know the truth of God's word and follow it and be free. Are you with me? You got that so far? I want to look at James 17, 17. It says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." I am sanctified. I am set apart. I am made holy. I am called to God's purposes. That's what the word sanctify means. It means set apart, anointed for the purpose of God. I am sanctified by the truth. Thy word is truth. I'm not up here just making stuff up, folks. This is not my opinion. This is what God's word says. So if I'm going to be sanctified, set apart for God's purposes, then I need to know the truth. And this is the truth. God's word is the truth. I know that when I live according to God's word, my life is free from a lot of things. I'm not free from obeying God, but I'm free from sin. I'm free from chaos. I'm free from a lot of conflict and heartache and problems I create for myself, and all those kind of things, because I'm following what God says, and God's ways work. I often tell people, the way I know God's word is true, I can give you history, I can give you textual criticism, I can give you science, you know, I can give you all the archaeology, all these different things to demonstrate the truth of God's word. But the number one way I know God's word is true, because everything I've ever learned from it and I've applied to my life, it worked. It always works. And if it wasn't true, it wouldn't work, right? If somebody tells you something's not true and you try to act on it, is it going to work? No. because it's not true. We have to be based in truth. God's word is truth. I'm sanctified. And when I know God's truth, I'm set apart. I'm anointed. I'm following God's purpose for his purpose. But that doesn't mean I'm not just doing whatever I want. What am I doing? I'm doing God's will. Galatians 5:1. I love Galatians 5:1. I have my own little paraphrase of it, but it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." You know why Christ set you free? What does it say there in verse 1? You know why Christ set you free? So that you could be free. Isn't that what it says? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It was so that we could be that Christ set us free. Therefore, don't let ourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery, which of course is following Satan, being deceived by him, doing what he wants us to do, and becoming slaves to sin, slaves to Satan. Don't allow that to happen. Instead, Christ set us free so that we could be free to choose not to be deceived by Satan, but instead to follow the will of God. Galatians 5:13 says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." And there's a great passage to tell us that freedom doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. Hello? I need some feedback. This is good stuff, all right? I need some feedback here. That you are free, but not free to what? Another way of saying it, not to free to indulge your sinful nature. Another way of saying that would be you're not free to do whatever you want. Because a lot of what we want isn't pleasing to God. It's not obeying God. It's not in line with his truth. So we're not free to just do whatever we want. Freedom does not mean we are free to indulge our sinful nature. We are free to love and serve one another the way God would have us do it. Some people would, but most people would not love and serve others as their priority if God did not set the example and call them to do it. Christ, of course, is our ultimate example, right? Jesus is the biggest servant, the number one servant the world has ever known. He is our example. And that's what he has set us free. He has set us free rather than to be consumed with self, self-gratification, self-preservation, self-aggrandizement, rather than to be captured by self, we are free to love and serve others the way that Christ did. Don't use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. So I want to, maybe this will put a whole different twist on this idea of a person being free. Let's go to Romans 6. I'm going to start in verse 15. This is a little bit lengthy. I'm going to read through verse 23. It says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." Let me let that sink in. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. "I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you were now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The concept of worldly wealth, I told you I was jumping ahead. The concept of worldly freedom is a myth. The way that we think of freedom doesn't exist. We are either slaves to sin, or we are slaves to righteousness / God. Here's the point, and where freedom comes in. God does not make us obey him, right? We believe, our views, if you want a theological term for it, our views are fairly Arminian, meaning we have free will. That's the free will view of Scripture, that we have free will. God doesn't make us. In fact, I tell people all the time, and I think it makes them uncomfortable, God doesn't want people to be lost eternally. He doesn't want them to go to hell, but God allows people to go to hell every day because it's their choice. We are free to choose to serve God. This is really critical. There's one point I make today that you've heard. I want you to hear this. We're free to choose God. If we don't freely become slaves to righteousness and God, then by default, we become slaves to Satan and sin. It's one or the other. It's black or white. So I have free choice to serve God, but I don't have free choice. If I don't serve God, I am going to serve Satan. There is no freedom in that choice. There is no free choice to say, I won't serve either. Oh, yes, you will. We got that. That's where this all comes down to. I freely choose to serve God, or I will automatically, by default, serve Satan. So I'm a slave to God by choice, or I'm a slave to Satan by default. There is no freedom the way the world thinks of freedom. It doesn't exist. It's a myth. So I'm all for using the word freedom as long as we use it properly and understand it properly, the way God tells us to do it. We are slaves to whatever we obey. Verse 16 tells us, we are slaves to whatever we obey. What are we going to obey? We are slaves to the one whom we obey, whether it's to be slaves to sin and death or to obedience and righteousness. It's up to us. We have the freedom of choice in that. I hope we choose freedom and righteousness. Otherwise, by default, it's going to be sin. I'm not going to spend more time. Let's go to James 2:12. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the laws that give freedom. Well, wait a minute. How can the law give freedom? I'm going to be judged by a law that gives freedom? Doesn't a law set limits on my behavior? Don't laws restrict me in what I can do? How can law give freedom? Because again, when I choose to follow God's ways, God's laws, I get blessing, I get lack of, I don't have conflict, I don't have trouble, I don't have turmoil in my life. I mean, all those kind of things. I mean, I'll reserve those comments. I'm not going to say life is perfect. I mean, there's always going to be issues. But if we follow God's ways, if we follow God's laws, our life will be much better off. We'll be free from so much of the chaos that becomes a part of people's lives. Again, God's rules communicate to us how God designed his creation to operate. We have physical laws, right? The laws of physics, the laws of gravity, the laws of motion, all these different laws. But there are spiritual laws that are just as absolute. There are spiritual laws that are just as absolute as physical laws. God created and designed both, and you cannot violate them. If you do, you're going to have some bad result. God's laws are telling us how he designed this world to work, to bring about godly outcomes. If we follow God's law, then we will produce godly outcomes and we'll be free from the negative things that come in this world. Does that make sense? So law does bring freedom. It brings the freedom to produce God's outcomes, what he designed for the world for us to have in our lives, not the turmoil that comes from disobeying God's laws. So we need to follow God's teachings. We need to follow Jesus' teachings. We know the truth, and the truth sets us free. Speak and act as those going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. The law can give us freedom if we follow it. Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So we follow the law, and Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill the law. Jesus is not the abolition of God's law. He is the fulfillment of God's law. And God's law says sin violates his purposes. And when we have sin in our lives, we're not a part of the kingdom of God. But Jesus came to do what? What's required of the law? When sin happens, what's required? Death, right? He told Adam and Eve, if you sin, you will die. Hebrews 9:22 says there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Blood is required to forgive sin. Death is required. So Jesus came and he did what? He shed his blood to fulfill the requirement of the law for death as to be the consequence of sin. He didn't do away with the idea that a life had to be given to forgive sin. He fulfilled the fact that a life had to be given to forgive sin. And he gave his life so that we could be forgiven. He fulfilled the law. So we want to. If I follow Christ, I am free from this world, right? I'm free from the results of sin. I'm free from eternity separated from God. I'm free from all that because if I follow the law, Jesus is a fulfillment of the law, I'm free. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. This is where, if I was in a good, I just want to preach in a black church. Because right now they'd be jumping and shouting and singing glory to God and hallelujah. I want the organ in the background playing when I'm preaching. Someday. I just imagine you guys doing that. If I ever see you do it, I know Jesus is coming back real soon. Romans 4:8. 1-4, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. We're not condemned when we're in Christ because he fulfilled the law. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by sinful nature, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in sinful man. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. That summarizes everything I just got done talking about. I post my notes on the church app, okay? Pretty much almost every sermon that I do, the notes are there. A couple weeks ago, we had a bad audio, but I posted the notes anyways. I would encourage you, this portion of my notes, I will post, but not till I get to Tennessee, so it might be a little while before they show up. You should go and study this more about what I just talked about. Jesus, the law gives freedom, right, if we follow it. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Why is he the fulfillment of the law? Because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because he paid what was required by the law. He paid with his life so that we could be redeemed and set free from the law that would condemn us. Because the law says what about us? The rules of the law say what? You're guilty. I am guilty. Randy is guilty of breaking the law. But Jesus fulfilled the law on my behalf. He paid my penalty for me. And now I am no longer under the law. I have been set free from it. But I'm still obligated to follow Christ and follow his teachings. I just feel like I should share this before I wrap up. I'm at my close, okay? So as I continue to close, you might get that joke. When I was in the Navy, first in the Navy, and I tested positive on urinalysis, and I had to go through this drug program, I was told that it would be entered into my service record, and it'd be a part of my record from there on out, all this stuff. I pray, that's when I really prayed, God, get me out of this and I'll straighten up. And I would say, he did, so I did. That's pretty much my story. But here's the thing. When I left there, they gave me my service record to take to my next command. I know I had never been, I was supposed to have to go in and sign paperwork that I was in the Navy on what they called a drug waiver. That was the thing they did back at the time. They probably wouldn't even take you now if you tested positive, but they needed people back then, so they let you be in on a waiver as long as you promise not to do it anymore. But they'd keep checking. Did you do that? Did you pee in the bottle a lot, Jim? Yeah, pee in the bottle all the time. Give them a sample. So they would continue to check, but I had to sign all this paperwork. I knew that I had never been called in to sign all this paperwork. So that when I left and I had my service record in hand to go to my next command, I went through every page. Guess what? There was nothing in there about it. Nothing. And as I learned more as a Christian, as I grew, I understand what Jesus did. He took my sin and he threw it into the sea of forgetfulness as if it had never happened. I spent the next 8 years in the Navy. Nobody I ever came into contact, nobody that ever looked at my service record, no command I ever went to, ever knew that I had tested positive on any urinalysis. That's what God does with our sin through Jesus Christ when he pays the penalty for our sin. I just want to make that really clear about what we're talking about here. It never happened. If we understand that, that's the right attitude. That's the proper perspective to have of it. Following God's law is simply doing a good thing, or the right thing, things we should do. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. We. How many of you have known the right thing to do, but didn't do it? I mean, we've all been there, right? But you're right. God gives us the law not so that we fall short of it, but so that we can follow it and we can obey it. But it also lets us know that sometimes we're going to fall short. I often think, according to Romans 6, which we're not going to go, but I think that the law was given so that we would know that we needed a Savior. We know that we can't be perfect and holy following the law, so we need Jesus. But yes, the law is the right thing to do. There's nothing wrong with the law. The problem is with us is that we can't fulfill it perfectly because we are sinful at conception. And so Jesus comes to redeem us. I want to go back. This is a couple verses, two verses after our opening passage and start to close this up. In John 8, 34 and 36, it says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Our freedom comes through Jesus Christ. We're free from sin. We're free from the consequences of our sin. And he makes us a son. Romans describes us as being adopted into the family, a branch that's grafted into the tree. We become a part of it. And once we become a part of it, we are indeed a part of that family. But if we sin, we're a slave to sin. Again, there is no true freedom. We either choose to serve God or by default, we become a slave to sin. If we obey the Son, we become sons. But we are obedient to Jesus Christ. John 4:16 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the truth. He's the way we come to the Father. We need to know the truth so that we can be free. Jesus is the truth, and the truth sets us free. Amen? In Christ, we are free to pursue the life that God created for us to live, to be free from sin and the fallen nature and all the turmoil and conflict and self-destruction and heartache that goes along with it. We're free to be, we have the opportunity to be free from that if we know the truth and follow the truth of God's word. By becoming a slave to Christ, I'm free to pursue the life of balance, of blessing, of responsibility, and fulfillment that God has created for me to carry out in my lifetime. I'm free to follow that. What is freedom? Freedom is the choice to be a slave to righteousness, to follow the true teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible tells us is true freedom. And if we don't choose to follow Jesus, then by default, we are slaves to sin. This is what true freedom really is.